Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Dino Prado of the Invita Medical Center in Scottsdale, Arizona. We're going to be talking about special means of treating diseases. Now, certainly there's a great deal of information out there. I went to a lecture today. It was on dementia. It was a fascinating lecture. But, of course, they pointed out that black people have almost twice the incidence of Alzheimer's disease that whites do, and they have no possible idea why that is. Well, I can tell you why it is. It's because blacks, because we fluoridate drinking water, and for genetic different reasons, they seem to absorb lead from the toxic material they put in the drinking water. And we know from a study of 450,000 children that the level of the lead in the blood of children where they drink the fluoridated water with hydrofluorosilicic acid increases dramatically, and it doubles in whites and goes up four times in Hispanics and 6 times in blacks. And these children have a lead problem with their brain from the very young age, and one reason why we have so much criminality. And they can correlate the criminality with the areas where they fluoridate the drinking water, where blacks drink it, and they have a much higher incidence of criminality. And I'm sure this is why they have the increased Alzheimer's disease as they grow older, because of the heavy metals. And there's no idea about any of these things from the average doctor, because this is totally blocked out from what they're allowed to hear at their meetings and certainly what they read in their journals. And well, of course, when you go someplace like the Invita Clinic, they're well aware of the effect of heavy metals on people and with the chronic diseases and mental problems, because they practice a different type of medicine based upon traditional medicine, but of course expanding it into all sorts of fields that you're never going to see discussed elsewhere. Dr. Prado, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Oh, thank you for having me.
How often do you see the influence of heavy metals? We're talking about lead and mercury in disease, and the chronic diseases and the mental diseases that plague your patients.
Oh, and the doctors that work with the patients at the clinic see it very commonly. It's more common than people think. I would say, without being 100% accurate, maybe 70 to 80%. Of patients have some sort of heavy metal elevation. And the key here is that the testing needs to be done appropriately. So I just want to mention that, because like you said, it's not only difficult to find doctors that are testing for this, but it's how to do the testing appropriately. There's been doctors who use hair analysis, not as effective. What needs to be done is what's called a provocative, where you actually give an intravenous chelating agent, and then you collect urine for 24 hours, because a lot of these metals can be in the connective tissue, and they can be deeper and more than just in the bloodstream. So if you just take a blood test, you're not going to get the accurate levels that the patient has. So you have to test for that properly. And then you want to test for all of the various metals that patients, mercury, lead, aluminum, and others that patients may have, and then you treat them, and then you monitor those levels as they go down.
Yeah, because aluminum is a very, very important metal. It's not considered a heavy metal, but it's a very, very toxic metal. And there's so many of our people have high doses of aluminum, but the average doctor is not going to be looking for that. Because of the pharmaceutical industry and the other things we're up against, they're never told. Go right ahead, Dr. Prado. Certainly, how frequently do you find aluminum and higher levels of aluminum? And what can you do when you find the heavy metals or aluminum?
Well, it's interesting.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Intoxication. Why, of course, it's going to limit your ability to deal with disease. And, of course, there are so many of these chronic infections out there, whether it be Borrelia or the disease that caused Lyme disease or chlamydia or chronic viral infections, but you're not going to pick them up ordinarily unless you're doing special tests for them because, of course, in many instances, they don't even elevate the sedimentation rate. But then, of course, I certainly ask the question not only how often you see the chronic infections, but the other things, of course, that we see that really plague people. And there's certainly so many things that the ordinary doctor is not going to be looking for. Chronic infections is certainly one thing. How about the autoimmune diseases? What do you see with those? And how often do you see chronic infections associated with autoimmune disease?
Yeah, probably closer to 90%+. And here's the reason, and the reason that is typically missed by the conventional group, is there's a lot of confusion around testing. You mentioned Lyme disease, the tick-borne illnesses. There's tremendous confusion on how to test for these tests properly. Patients will run a standard test and get back a false negative when, in fact, they have the infection. So you have to work with tick-borne specialty laboratories. That's just one infection. In the viral community, again, you have to run the antiviral. And there's a number of tests that you have to understand and read properly. So we call these Lyme-literate doctors, LLMDs, which we have at the Invita Medical Center, where they can review and then look at the clinical symptoms, tie that together, And so, give you an example, a patient may have scleroderma affecting their connective tissue. And so you begin testing, you find these infections, and you begin to treat these infections, and then the autoimmune disease markers start to decrease. Lupus, you can go on and on. You start to see the improvement of these markers going down, almost as if they don't have the disease anymore. And one of the telltale signs of these infectious diseases, or we call the Lyme disease complex, where you have a multitude of infections, Borrelia, Ehrlichia, Bartonella, herpes virus 6, which is a massive virus that impacts the brain, involved in MS as well, which is an autoimmune disease that attacks the myelin sheath of the nerve. A lot of these autoimmune diseases, when you start testing for these infections, then you come back and test for these toxins and heavy metals, you'll see various combinations in patients. But as you treat them, here is the curious part. Their titers go away almost like the autoimmune disease wasn't there. Because the autoimmune disease or inflammation or the inflammatory markers are simply the body's reaction to the underlying problem. So, in fact, in the conventional medicine, when you see, well, they have an autoimmune disease, the word is idiopathic. We don't know what's causing it. When, in fact, we do know that a majority of these are caused by infections, toxins. And as you treat these things, the quality of life of the patient increases. They respond better. And then, of course, these patients, let's not forget, many of them are on pain medication or on steroids. And that's a double jeopardy, because if you have an autoimmune disease patient on steroids, what does that do to the immune system? Weakens it. So it gives the infection opportunity to expand, grow, biofilm communities to expand, and now you've got yourself a real problem on your hands. Not only are we seeing confusion in the ability to diagnose this in the conventional medical arena, but we're seeing a problem with the standard treatment, anti-inflammatory, pain medicine, all these things really don't help. They may help in the temporary, but they don't really help at treating what's causing the problem. They make it worse.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dr. Prato, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, what the conventional doctor does, he's thinking in the back of his mind, well, maybe there's some sort of a chronic infection here or some sort of an infection. We'll get a sedimentation rate because, you know, if there's an infection, the sedimentation rate will be elevated. And if it's not elevated, then I'm not going to worry about it. Well, certainly if the sedimentation rate is elevated, then his attention is focused on the possibility of an infectious disease. But if it's not elevated, he's not even consider that as a possibility. How often do you find normal sedimentation rates with these chronic, long-standing diseases we've been talking about?
It's very common that they'll have normal or what appear to be normal. But, for example, Ehrlichia. How are you going to use a sedimentation rate to diagnose Ehrlichia, which lives inside of the white blood cell? It's a very much parasitic, living inside of the white blood cell itself. If you do not have specialty laboratories that are specifically trained to look at these individually under microscopes, do BAND, look for the genetic information of these infections, you will not get a good laboratory reading. And in fact, what we see, which is quite interesting, is, I'll explain this to you because it's quite interesting, that these infections actually can communicate with each other. We call this self-synergistic replication, where inside biofilm communities, that if you start treating Lyme disease, the Borrelia may drop, but it turns on the replication of herpes virus 6. Because, you know, if you've been a child, a kid goes to a daycare center, they're going to pick up herpes virus 6. Everybody has it. It's very common. But the replication of it can turn on when you have these combinations of infections. And this was clearly demonstrated in several clinical papers with malaria and Epstein-Barr in Africa. When they treated the malaria, the Epstein-Barr replication shot up. So there is a, if you will, a co-tag-teaming of infections, which makes things a little bit more complicated. So you can look for SED rates and do all these other tests, inflammatory markers, and they might come up and go down, or you might even find a positive lupus marker or a scleroderma marker. But as you start treating these infections, you'll see the numbers improving and the patients are improving. And then you wonder to yourself, did they even have an autoimmune disease? Yes, they did, but the cause of it is now finally being treated and the numbers are beginning to normalize. And more importantly, the patient's symptoms improve and their quality of life improves much, much more than just taking a a pain medicine or an anti-inflammatory.
And I really think that's the danger, you know, certainly with practicing medicine. People have these chronic diseases, and certainly if you give them a steroid, a cortisone, they feel better.
Sure.
But you're not treating the disease, you're just covering up the disease. The same thing with the pain pills. Yes, of course, there's a place for pain pills, there's a place on occasion for the anti-inflammatory medication, but not on a long-term basis, because, of course, what you're doing is simply you're covering up the disease, but the disease continues and you haven't gotten to the cause. You have to get to the cause of the disease, and really conventional medicine, at least on many of these illnesses associated with chronic infections or certainly with heavy metal intoxication or so many of the other toxins we come in contact with on a regular basis, why they're not equipped to handle those. What, of course, the pharmaceutical industry wants is for you to give them a pill. And, of course, they've got a pill, and then you take another pill, and then you've got a reaction to those two pills, so you've got to take another pill. And it is really great for the pharmaceutical industry. And, of course, basically there are truly millions of people every year who have reactions to the pharmaceutical drugs. But if you're using vitamins and minerals, there are very, very few complications from that. And certainly there is a place for a treatment of antibiotics with antibiotics.
I wanted to use an example here while you were talking about this with rheumatoid arthritis. We have a center not far from our clinic. We're about a mile away from Mayo Clinic. Everybody's heard of them, you know, big hospital, and their research center is not far from our center. But around the corner, we have a rheumatology practice that does $1 million a month in Remicade. Now, this medication is extremely dangerous. People are going to need liver transplant. I mean, it's very serious. Shutting down of organ systems, major side effects. And again, they're all temporary relief. Now, years ago, I remember we've been at the infectious disease as a team, our medical doctors that are in practice, our chief medical director, well over 10 years working with Lyme disease, infectious disease, autoimmune disease patients. And interestingly enough, what you'll find is that early on, when he would treat a patient, you know, clean their body up from toxins, you do an antibiotic. Now, and that antibiotic would give tremendous relief for a long-standing period of time because, in fact, it was an infection there. And so, you would hear in the community an IV and an antibiotic was given and the patient's, you know, joints would be improved, there'd be less pain. Well, that would only occur, it would only be possible if the patient had an infection. And because these were not anti-inflammatory antibiotics, these were antibiotics that went after infection. And as you know, one of the treatments, not by itself effective, to treating Lyme disease or these tick-borne illnesses or this complex of infection is the use of antibiotics. And sometimes in our protocols, we do use IV antibiotics, but combined with other natural treatments to build the immune system, detox the body, and help the body target the infection. And the point, reason I bring that up is because I believe that the pharmaceutical companies have known about this for a long time. This is not new. I think they know more than we do. They have the money. They sure have the resources, but it's not profitable. It's not profitable. It's not, if you will, the business of medicine. And I really believe that because it's, you know, I always think we have a great team and we do a lot of good work, but it seems to me that, you know, with all the data and work that people have done in the past, it's pretty simple to see that there's a link, you know, with these conditions, and they're not tested for or treated for because we're not taught to do that. In the medical school setting, no one's taught to think that way. You're taught to give a prescription to deal with the symptoms and not really go deeper and investigate what could be the cause.
And, of course, so a beautiful example is the statin drugs, $29 billion a year industry, the statin drugs lower the cholesterol by poisoning the liver and creating all sorts of complications. And it's not the high cholesterol that leads, of course, to the hardening of the arteries and the heart attacks and the strokes. And they know this, at least if you read the studies very carefully. But if you go to the medical meetings over and over again, we're told how important the statin drugs are and that doctors are programmed to give them. Even though if they read the package inserts, that realize that all the statistics that are used are totally fallacious. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, go right ahead, Dr. Prado. Statin drugs are one of my favorite villains out there. I mean, it's so obvious when you really study them to realize that they really do.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Pesticides or pesticides or chemicals, and certainly if there is an infection there, it needs to be treated, and these can be treated. And of course, you keep telling doctors, oh, don't use antibiotics today, they're terrible problems and resistance. And ladies and gentlemen, antibiotics can be very, very important, the proper antibiotics for the proper type of disease. But certainly Dr. Prado was simply talking about what the studies certainly on the long-term use of statins show. And basically we are told over and over again why they decrease the incidence of stroke and heart disease 30%. if you look at the package insert, what it really says is you take, 100 patients on statins and 100 patients not on statins, and you follow them for 5 years. And if they're taking the statins, why, 2 out of the 100 will have a heart attack or stroke. If they're not taking the statins, 3 out of the 100 100 will have a heart attack or stroke, and that's a 30% difference. Well, it looks to me like 1% difference, but you see, basically, if they told you it was a 1% difference, you'd say, why should I be giving the drug companies $29 billion? And so they simply lie, and of course, but look at the package insert. Read what it really says, not what the ads that you're going to see on television say about Lipitor and the other conditions. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add that I'm thinking of the listeners that are listening tonight, and I'm thinking, what do they do to prevent heart disease? And we have a book that I wrote in 2009. It's called The Stupid Diet, and really it means that dieting isn't the way to go. It's the changing your life and the way you eat. And what this basically talks about is that if we really want to impact, like we said, heart disease and strokes, we have to change our lifestyle, and it begins with how we eat, the nutrients we take. The book that I wrote is The ABCs to Total Health, and it talks about how you have to have the right attitude and the right behaviors in the way you eat, and then exactly how to eat and the right nutrients to take to help you. And one of the things that I think people don't grasp yet is that you are your best doctor. I believe that the Lord has made our body to be healthy, strong, and to glorify Him and to do wonderful things. But when we mistreat our body, which we're really in turn opening the door to disease. And so we have to take our health into our own hands and take control of the things that we do. Then we really see the difference in vitality and health and energy and clarity and the ability to think. And of course, go forth and do the work that we're all supposed to do. We all have different missions in the world and different projects and things that we're called to do. But we're able to accomplish that when we take good care of ourselves, And I believe very strongly God has given us all the tools to do that. If we'll simply listen and simply follow them, we can turn around many of the diseases that is costing billions of dollars that can be reversed. Diabetes, heart disease, and even the risk factors for cancer. The book that we wrote basically talks about the three big killers and really how to turn them around.
Well, let's quickly, before we get to the time for a break, tell our listeners how they can contact the Invita Clinic there in Scottsdale. And basically you have places of people that they can talk to ahead of time and perhaps even get the laboratory studies done before they go down there. So why don't you tell our listeners how they can contact the Invita Clinic and certainly at least learn more about it, the webpage. Go ahead.
Yes, our phone number is 1-866-830-4576. Again, it's 1-866-830-4576. And you can reach us at Invita, Envita.com. And if you'll contact us, and you'll talk to our patient care coordinators that are there to educate and help people. Ask them about the book. Ask them about what you can do to be healthy. Ask them what tools we have. We have so many tools. Our online library is amazing. We have videos, animations, articles that people can just learn in depth how to deal with these chronic diseases and really have a much, much more comprehensive approach than what is being done in conventional medicine.
And, of course, if you can't remember Invita, just go to my homepage, radioliberty.com, and scroll down to Invita Medical Center and click on that. Take you to their website. You get the telephone number there. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I really feel very, very deeply about what's going on. And of course, medicine, emergency medicine, surgery sometimes is wonderful, but there's so many things that are being made worse by conventional medicine.
While the storm clouds gather, far across.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I know that there are some of you out there who are suffering from a debilitating disease. Many of you may feel that there's nothing else that can be done regarding your cancer. I want to suggest that you investigate the Invita Clinic. The only clinic of its kind, Invita offers an extensive array of advanced natural treatments under one roof. They treat a wide variety of conditions, particularly cancer and heart disease. The diversity of their doctor's education and training ensures that no stone is left unturned when it comes to patient care. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Better yet, investigate their website at www.invita.com. That's E-N-V-I-T-A.com. 866-830-4576, Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
It's going to at least go to their website and possibly get in touch with them. And they do actually have counselors who will talk to them on the telephone and at least direct you as to what Invita has to offer. Anything else you want to say, David, before we let you go?
No, that's very helpful, and God bless you guys, and thank you for the information. I'll get a hold of them there.
Okay.
You too. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Invita's been there in Scottsdale for, well, how long have you been around there?
Officially, it's around 12 years, so over 10 years we've been there.
All right, fine. And certainly they have a number of doctors there on the staff, and they even have a clinic in Mexico, because there's certain things that cannot be done here in the United States, or so they could create all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
Actually, you actually had permission initially from the NIH to do a study with these killer T cells growing.
Well, let me say exactly what it was. We got an approval from FDA for a phase 1 drug study with our natural killer cells, but we were not able to really conduct it because we don't have the money. It's hundreds of millions of dollars to bring a drug to market, and we're not a pharmaceutical company. And, of course, FDA would not allow us to charge patients at least the cost of therapy. So we moved it with a great group of doctors in Mexico who work with biologics and natural killer cells, and one of the immunology professors who does the culture work. And that's fabulous, and it's made it more cost effective for people, and it gives them the opportunity to utilize that treatment. And so it's more than in just one cancer type where we use that therapy. It's used in several cancer types, but of course the patient has to be a candidate, and it has to be decided by the physician.
And basically, of course, the whole idea is to actually grow the person's own T cells.
Yes.
And wasn't this a program actually developed initially by the NIH?
Yes, it was. Dr. Steven Rosenberg, if you do any research, was one of the fathers of immunotherapy, brilliant physician, a lot of work they did with the National Institutes of Health. The problem is none of these therapies really made it to the public or for wide use. And so the natural killer cell therapy is particularly powerful because if you know anything about natural killer cells, their job is really twofold. One, they go after viruses. Two, they go after cancer cells. And they, once they hone in on the cancer cells, they can burrow through tissue, bone, anywhere, and go after and literally lyse or kill the cancer cells. And that's what they do. And so what we found is if we could create an immune system for a patient using their own immune system, strengthen it with their natural killer cells, grow them into the billions, look at their cytotoxicity, make sure they could kill cancer effectively, and then return it to them, then we would see really good results. And we began that work in mid-2005 and 6, and then have developed that technology. And we've been blessed over the years to see some really good results with patients. Some patients have definitely improved quality of life. Some patients we've seen remission just in that therapy alone. And with others, we've definitely seen them responding to other conventional treatments better with it alongside. And of course, I have to say that it is not an approved treatment in the United States for the treatment of cancer by the FDA, and it is a therapy available through our doctors in Mexico under their laws and regulations there. And, of course, there is the approved drug Provenge that just came to the market within the last few years, and that drug is used for only prostate cancer currently as a dendritic cell vaccine, and that's 15-year-old technology. And for the listeners who don't know the immune system, dendritic cell's job is to go and turn on the natural killer cell to go kill the tumor. Well, we figured, let's take the short way home and develop the end product that's actually going to go and kill and go after the tumor, and that's why we really believe the natural killer cell to be superior.
All right, well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-28, let's see, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, of course, there's certain of the tumors, lymphomas, Hodgkin's, leukemias, which really do respond fairly well to the chemotherapy and the radiation. But this is not true for most tumors. Certainly the results are certainly no better now with all these new expensive drugs than they were 30 or 40 years ago. And they're always coming up with the new, more expensive drugs. I mean, sometimes you're talking about $100,000 a year just for these drugs that really may extend the life a few months, and a lot of them don't even do that. They initially come out and say, oh, well, this is a wonderful drug. It's really going to extend the life. And, well, then they drop their voice and they say 3 months or 2 months. But you're talking about, $40,000 or $50,000 a month for these treatments.
Yeah.
To live just a few extra months is something seriously wrong. And then we wonder what's wrong with medicine. And it's simply because, of course, the administrations, both Republican and Democrat, are in bed with the major drug companies, which in my estimation are part of what I talk about, and that is the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, we've got Barbara calling from, I suspect, from the Santa Cruz area. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Barbara, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I was just wondering, considering the world that we live in today, I was just wondering, are any of the problems that you see related in any way to chronic stress?
Oh, well, let me just say, it's a great thing to bring up. Absolutely, a lot of the heart attacks you see, probably 50% or more, have stress origins to them. But let's look at it a little bit deeper. If you were to take a look at somebody, let's say, during the time of a funeral where there would be tremendous sadness and extreme stress, we see about a 75% decrease in their natural killer cells or their immune system during stress. Look at kids or high school or college kids during finals in the school. they have more colds and flus. Well, is that because there's more bacteria or virus in the air? No, that's because they're under stress. So stress is a silent killer, and I think I have the wonderful remedy for stress. There's a lot of great natural things you can take, but I think one of the best things for stress is prayer. I think that when people start to really put their trust in God, they begin to feel more peaceful and more patient, and they start to experience more joy, and they realize that we're really not in charge of everything, and that really brings a lot of peace to people. From a nutritional support, some of the great things you can do for stress is build the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands get under extreme stress. Vitamin C is very powerful for that, but you have to take good, high-quality doses of vitamin C, like powder, and slowly increment up to 12,000 milligrams orally. You might develop diarrhea, so you have to go really slow with that. But you build the adrenal glands. Other things for stress is we use like glycine, the amino acid combined with that, and some homeopathics that have really helped people relax. And they don't fall asleep, and they don't get sleepy. They just feel more calm and more alert. And they don't do it like with coffee, where you get that stimulation, but it burns the adrenal gland, and then you feel the crash, but it slowly builds you up. So I think that chronic stress is a major problem. And, of course, in the times we're in today, economic times, the moral times, and all these things going on, stress is at a very high level. And, of course, I do say that a lot of that has to do with us veering from, simply veering away from God. We begin to become people who are more stressed and have more anxiety.
Barbara, does that answer your question?
It does, and I like that answer very much.
All right, bud. Thank you so much. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have a question or comment, but we're talking about literally millions of Americans with Lyme disease, probably close to 2 million Americans with Lyme disease, and the trouble is you go to the doctor, and he runs a Lyme test on you, and it's negative, so they rule out Lyme disease. And the average blood test will not pick up Lyme disease, at least the vast majority of cases of Lyme disease. Would you like to comment on that, Dr. Prado?
Sure, because these tests are inaccurate. They might run what we call a Western blot, but which is just looking for essentially immune responses. Immunoglobulins. And the problem with that is that when they test for these infections, there's these different bands they're looking for. If you will, the bands can even represent the genetic information of the spirochete, which is from Borrelia or Lyme disease. It's like let me help people understand, it's like a little corkscrew, like a snake, like burrows into the tissue. And you can test for the genetic information. Obviously, if in your bloodstream you contain the tail or the whatever of the organism, you've been exposed to it. And the interesting thing is a lot of these tests are really just not sensitive enough, and they're not accurate. So we use laboratories, like one of the best in the country, Igenics Laboratories out of San Francisco, that is really one of the best and standardized in Lyme disease testing. But that's not the only laboratory we use. We use a series of other laboratories to get a full profile. Then we look at the full symptoms of the patient. Then we go and test for all the patient's toxic exposure, heavy metals, other toxins. And then we look at their immune system overall. We do what's called a CD57 marker, which looks at their natural killer cell count. And when you look at all these things, their immune system's depressed. They have the infection present. They have the toxins present. Then you have the clinical skill of the Lyme literate doctors. We have one of the best Lyme literate physicians in the country who has trained numerous doctors, Dr. David Korn. He's probably been on the show before. And He's fabulous. His work in Lyme disease is very clear. He himself is a patient of Lyme disease, so he became very sensitive to it and spent a lot of time studying it and working with patients. And frankly, he has done a wonderful job of teaching our physicians and elevating our staff over the last number of years to really be one of the top clinics in the country working with this infectious disease. And it isn't easy to treat, but with the right treatment, with the right protocols and the right follow-through, patients can experience an improvement. And just to understand how difficult Lyme disease is, even the doctors who, quote, treat the disease, it could take years of antibiotics for people to feel better. Today, we're seeing in our center, within sometimes 4 to 6 to 8, 10 weeks, big improvements, quality of life improvements in our patients, which are significant. And that's really telling you how far, you know, we've come in that disease, considering in other centers it's taking years.
And I think the significant thing is that Lyme disease is not necessarily just all this one spirochete.
That's correct.
A lot of these people have multiple infections, don't they?
Yes, and you know what? That, Dr. Stan, that's hitting the nail on the head. They have multiple, we call it the Lyme disease complex, because everybody's looking at Lyme disease, but really what it is a complex of infections, and we can also say a complex of toxins, because the infection itself issues out neurotoxins that bind up the nervous system, so your nerves don't work properly. They can affect the hormonal system of the body, the digestive system. So you absolutely are right, and that's one of the misnomers of people who are learning about this but really don't understand it clinically. There are a multitude of infections. And see, everybody likes to say, well, it's this infection or it's that infection, and the answer is it's a combination. And that's why you have to reestablish the patient's immune system so that they can retake hold of it. And it's very possible when you're treating people that you do not eradicate all the infections, but what you do is decrease them, and then you help the immune system to take hold so that it is able to help the patient improve their quality of life. And over time, as they improve their immune system, they really start to eradicate more and more of the infection.
And because the whole idea is to try to get the immune system to the point where they can take care of the infection on their own, but they just get overwhelmed because of the heavy metals and the toxins that we come in contact with. And there's so many of them, and then the chronic infections tend to suppress the immune system. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we have Eric on the line from Michigan, we'll get to in just a moment, but would you like to, once again, put out your telephone number and, of course, your web address so people would know how to get in touch with you.
Sure. Our phone number is 1-866-830-4576. Again, that's 1-866-830-4576. And I encourage people to go to our website because it is really loaded with wonderful articles and information and videos and just webinars, lots of content, and that's Envita, ENVITA.com.
And if you can't find it, you can simply go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and scroll down on the homepage. We've got a banner there for the Envita Medical Center, since they do support Radio Liberty, and you can just click on that, go right to their website. Eric, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Being from Michigan, there's a real great sherry industry here, and recently I picked up a quart of this, it's called Bellaton. It's a variety of sherry that's six times more concentrated in various therapeutic compounds than the standard Montmorency, and only the fact that I have exposed nerve tissue in my mouth because of a teeth that I lost, I serendipitously discovered recently when I was going through some really nasty pain that this cherry concentrate, I love the flavor, it's very concentrated, so I would just let it mix with my saliva, and I wasn't expecting anything, but it totally vanquished the pain.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, so basically the cherry concentrate did help you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I was going to ask him if he'd ever heard of a Dr. Russell Reeder from University of Texas, because Dr. Reeder did research on that very substance relative to sleep disorders, melatonin production, and he discovered that the compounds in it would correct sleep disorders by increasing melatonin and at the same time normalize hypertension.
Okay, fine. Let's ask you, Dr. Dean Perotto, have you ever heard of that product?
Well, no, but I've heard of a number of different concentrated, if you will, antioxidants, and they may have proanthocyanidins and anti-inflammatory properties. That's not unusual. And sometimes you hear these stories not only of something you have there, but of this unique berry that's grown in an island that has all these benefits. And what I'm saying is, that it's not that they don't have these benefits, but it's important to remember that it's usually in patients that have enormous deficiencies that these little things can have an enormous impact in their health. And they're not little because they're antioxidants, they're live living, fruits, and they're loaded with nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and they start to help healing and inflammatory, and of course, they may have even other benefits like you're saying, but that's great you found that, and that's something you want to continue doing, but I urge you to marry that to a good diet and lifestyle, because then you'll really get an extra benefit in that.
And Chris, the important thing is the antioxidants, and basically this is certainly you get too much in the way of oxidation in there, you begin to sort of rust on the inside. There's so many of the treatments is set around various fruits and vegetables and extracts that are antioxidants. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program, Dr. Prato.
Well, I just encourage people to take good care of their health.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the 4 gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Amazing, amazing surgery. But, of course, there's so much in the way of treatment of conventional diseases or chronic diseases that all gets into the hands of the pharmaceutical industry, and basically we're not making the diagnosis. You can't treat them unless you have the proper diagnosis. And remember, from the drug company's point of view, there's no advantage for you to get well. Because you get well, you're not going to use the drugs. If you'd like to know more, certainly about statin drugs. We've got a great 4-CD set on statin drugs. We've got a book that was written by one of the astronauts, a physician who is an astronaut with the astronaut, NASA's astronauts, telling all about the statin drugs. The information you'll never get from conventional medicine today. Dr. Prado, thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
God bless. Okay, fine. That was Dr. Dino Prado from the Invita Medical Center. And they do actually have counselors there, and you are going down to Scottsdale or to their Mexican clinic. Well, they do have Sydney counselors to try to put you up in inexpensive places if you have to be there for any period of time. But a lot of the things that if you're going to take a trip, you want to have the laboratory work before you go. And so you call, get their views and their opinions, and certainly, I believe, in alternative forms of medicine for the diseases we're talking about is vitally important. Certainly, there are certain times that conventional medicine is wonderful, but unfortunately today, when you see that costing $50,000 to $100,000 to prolong life, maybe 2 or 3 months with some of the cancers, that is just unconscionable. And then after they've done that for a while, they suddenly decide, well, it really doesn't work. Their medicine doesn't work. Shucks. So they, but they have to let the drug companies recoup their tremendous investments. We have a great DVD called Cancer Forbidden Cures. A great DVD, Cancer Forbidden Cures, we recommend it. We have a tape set, Why Do We Still Have Cancer? We have certainly a 4-tape set on Laetrile. We've got all sorts of tape sets and DVDs and books. We have a great book on magnesium because most people are deficient in magnesium, and this can give you tachycardia and extrasystoles. We have a 4-tape or CD set on iodine, iodoral. You need to understand that many, many people are deficient in iodine products. And if you go to our website, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com, and certainly you can just look at the books and tape sets and things that we have. And basically, of course, there is a reason why they do not allow certain treatments to be used in this country, and that is because they're effective. There really is a population control agenda. If you've never heard my talk, Plan Population Reduction, none dare call it genocide. Also, you need to get those. You need to read my treatise on the population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off 90 to 95% of the population of the world, and you say, that's crazy. Who in their right mind would want to do that? And the answer is no one in their right mind. But we're dealing with people who have a different worldview. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you don't want to put the expenses out, go to my website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Scroll down to where it says video. Scroll down the videos to my talk. Watch it and weep. Understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So we ask you, of course, to remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who's former senior editor of the New American Magazine, now is the managing editor of Republic Magazine. He has his own blog. He certainly writes the Radio Liberty newsletter. And incidentally, William, I did get that today. And fascinating treatise on what's going on today. A sad commentary, but unfortunately it's true. But of course, what are we going to be talking about this evening, William?
Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing to be with you, and I appreciate your kindness, and I'm glad to see that you got the newsletter. One of the things that I focus on in the next installment of the newsletter is this sense of complete emancipation on the people who exercise power, and the fact that we live in a completely depraved culture in which it's just assumed that the operative principle of reality is to do whatever you want as far as you can get away with it. I mentioned before, and I believe in some of the previous installments of the newsletter, I've made mention of the Marquis de Sade and how his operative principle of life was that the highest of nature's laws decrees that I enjoy myself no matter at whose expense. That, of course, is the principle of hedonism, and it completely nullifies the non-aggression principle, or as it's more properly called, the golden rule, where we recognize that each individual has exactly the same innate value as every other individual, each of us being in a discrete creation and being invested by our creator with the same allotment of rights and the same potential for growth, and of course the same fallen nature. And so we're not entitled to commit aggression against our neighbor. We're not entitled to look upon our neighbor as a means to an end, to the extent that we have some kind of a relationship with a neighbor, interaction with a neighbor. It's supposed to be on the basis of a reciprocal respect for rights. And in the commercial realm, it means that we provide good value in exchange for whatever it is that we receive. You know, commerce and peaceful cooperation are the praxis, if you will, the golden rule. But we live in a culture in which the unfettered appetite is exalted above just about every other impulse. And at the bottom of it is this appetite for power, this lust to dominate. And St. Augustine referred to this as the libido dominandi, the lust for power, the drive to dominate other people. And it's the obverse of the idea that the highest natural law is the enjoyment of every impulse and the satisfaction of every appetite, which is a zero-sum proposition, because we become inured to the satisfaction of our sensate appetites. Eventually, we find ourselves becoming utterly depraved. And one reason I was thinking about this, Dr. Stan, was because we're a little less than a week away from the high holy day of our depraved materialistic culture, which is the annual Saturnalia of excess called the Super Bowl. And I just happened to catch maybe 10 minutes of it last Sunday when I was visiting with family to celebrate two birthdays in our own family. And they had the Super Bowl halftime program on, which was this bizarre ritual that could have been right out of the mystery cults of high imperial Rome or low imperial Rome. We really have become determined to trace every step in the degeneracy and descent of imperial Rome here in the United States without having any of their virtues. It's a terrible thing, but that's the circumstance in which we find ourselves. We can't flinch from that reality.
It would have been very difficult for Madonna to have had a skirt that was any shorter than the one she was wearing. Go right ahead.
That's part of it. That's a big part of it, unfortunately. And you're talking about somebody who's on the wrong side of a half century old as well. It really is a disagreeable spectacle.
All right, well, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with William Grigg as we analyze what's happened to American culture. William, you go right ahead.
One of the things that you mentioned when we have our conversations, Dr. Stan, is that we have to examine the worldview that animates the people who presume to rule us. And you've also made mention very perceptibly, I think, of the fact that we have to ask about the worldview of the people who would countenance such supposed leadership from the people in the political class. And over the last several years, completely against my original intention as a journalist, I've found myself immersed in this never-ending stream of stories about the abuse of power by people in law enforcement agencies, whether you're talking about federal agencies or military operations that involve a law enforcement component, state and local police, and of course the feds are the worst of the lot because they are the ones who enjoy the most impunity. And as I've examined all of this, I've found myself smitten by a couple of really unfortunate but abiding impressions. The first of which is that you're dealing with a different type in the aggregate, a different type of character. When you take a look at the people who staff these bureaucracies, these agencies, from the federal level all the way down often to local police, you're dealing with a different type of people. And I recall, Dr. Stan, back in 1994, when the Clinton administration was getting this ominous, it was called the Omnibus Crime Bill, but we called it the Ominous Crime Bill at the New American as we were examining its implications, where they were using federal funds to hire and train police officers. And we said, this can't be good because obviously you're completely short-circuiting local accountability. Now you're talking about taking people and making them directly accountable to the federal government. That's not a good arrangement. They have to be accountable to the people in the towns and counties where they serve. But I had occasion, more than one occasion, to go to the gym and work out in the company of people who were going to be part of the federally funded police force. And they were, for the most part, young men about my own age. I was much younger then than I am now, but they were probably five or six years younger than I was at the time. I was in my early 30s, and some of them were in their mid-20s. And my perception was we were dealing with people who were completely mercenary in their outlook. As I talked with them about my constitutional concerns about what they were doing, they would make it very clear that they didn't really consider that to be anywhere near as important as job security. And I think that that reflects, if you will, sort of a systemic change in terms of the talent pool from which law enforcement is being drawn now. It's now, I think, more a case that people are more concerned with institutional attachments and career security than with the sense of vocation that animated the decision of a lot of people to go into law enforcement.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. William was talking about 20 years ago when the ominous police bill went through. Actually, it was the omnibus, but they referred it to as the ominous police legislation or legislation went through. And basically, of course, William was saying that so many people were going into law enforcement not out of a sense of idealism, but wanted to help people or wanting certainly to maintain a stable society. But because if you went into the police force, well, you could work for 20 years and retire. You had security. You had good pension benefits. You could have health care benefits. Basically, it was a good, once you got into, certainly into law enforcement, why, it was a ticket to a good life, but you had to toe the line. You had to do what we were told. And this is one of the big tragedies in any sort of a government job, is you cannot think, you take orders, you do what you're told to do, and if you do not, why, you lose your job, and sometimes they'll come after you and make your life miserable. Go right ahead with
your thoughts. Particularly true now. When we take a look at what's going on with the Clinton, forgive me, that's a Freudian slip, the Obama administration going after whistleblowers, they're completely indulgent when dealing with people who've done horrible things, such as authorizing and carrying out torture in defiance of domestic law, the Constitution, the Ten Commandments, the Two Great Commandments, various accords and conventions to which the United States government is a party. When people commit acts of torture, they're violating pretty much every significant law, statute, and treaty to which the United States government is a party. And yet the Obama administration has been willing to let this slide in the interest of looking forward, not back, but is going after a CIA officer who happened to mention in a public interview that there were torture techniques being used at Guantanamo. They're going after him hammer and tongs using the Espionage Act. They're going after whistleblowers in the Department of Justice, the State Department. They're going after whistleblowers in the military. In other words, people who recognize that they have a higher moral obligation that transcends their duty to their nominal employers. Of course, ultimately their employer would be the sovereign people of the United States. But in terms of the people who sign their paychecks, whistleblowers recognize that there's a higher obligation. There's an obligation to the truth. There's an obligation to the public. There's an obligation to the Constitution. And there's an obligation to their creator. And those are people who are being targeted for punitive and vindictive prosecution, often in ways that defy the law, by the Obama administration, which had entered the White House trailing promises of reform and dramatic change in the direction of being ethical and transparent. But the same type of priorities prevail, unfortunately, at every level of government, including, unfortunately, quite frequently, your city hall and your municipal police departments. And that's because of a cultural change that has happened that I started to detect about 18 years or so ago when they were talking about the idea of using federal money to expand the number of police. And we were confused over a couple of things, the first of which was the idea that we had a spike in the violent crime rate. Actually, that was near a trough in the violent crime rate, the early 1990s. And furthermore, it wasn't as if police were underfunded or understaffed. Police departments have generous turnover. It's a high-stress occupation for a lot of people, not nearly as stressful as other occupations I could think of, certainly nowhere near as physically dangerous as other occupations. If you're a commercial fisherman, for instance, or even a farmer or a logger, you face a greater potential mortality rate as far as your job-related danger and exposure to danger would be concerned than your common police officer. That's simply the way the statistics pan out. But being immersed in problems and difficulties and seeing the senior side of life is not a healthy thing. So there's a certain attrition that goes on. So there's a turnover rate in law enforcement. But it wasn't as if 18 years ago we were dealing with a severe shortage of police officers. What was going on was that the federal government, having begun this process back in the 1960s of federalizing law enforcement, was accelerating it in the 1990s, at the same time they were going after private gun ownership and expanding the regulatory compass of surveillance and scrutiny and harassment of the commercial realm. That was something the Clinton administration did, and it escalated dramatically, of course, under the Bush administration post 9/11. But it's drawing into these enforcement agencies people who are primarily mercenary in their outlook, and in as much as they recognize an obligation to some section of the public, their primary preoccupation is with people who are part of their own cohort. Usually these are people that are part of government employee unions, which shouldn't exist. You should not have a union that is negotiating among people who are all part of the tax-consuming class, where there's simply nobody with any skin in the game who would be an antagonist. In other words, they don't really have to worry about one side or the other losing when they can hit up the taxpayers in order to make good whatever arrangement happens to be made in terms of benefits and salaries and so forth, pensions and so forth. You've got people who are both parties in that type of negotiation are part of the tax-consuming class rather than the tax-victim class. That's why you shouldn't have unionized arrangements for government employees. But the thing about what's happening culturally that I find disturbing is that the debased entertainment and the debased sense of personal comportment that characterized so much of our culture has really aggressively inundated law enforcement. And there are several pieces that I posted at republicmagazine.com this last week, the news site that is the corresponding internet presence to the magazine, republicmagazine.com. Several articles I published this week in which you've got incidents involving completely unnecessary and unjustified violence by police officers, in which the police officers literally are behaving and speaking as if they were gangbangers. In one instance, you have this poor fellow, Adam Green, from Henderson, Nevada, about a year ago, actually would have been last fall. He's a diabetic. He had an insulin shock episode at 4:30 in the morning. This has been October 29th of last year, when he was driving to work. About 4:30 in the morning, he suddenly went in insulin shock, and he started to weave and bob in his automobile as he was driving to work. He pulled up to a stoplight, and next thing you know, there's a police officer with his gun drawn, kicking this guy's driver's side window and ordering him out of the car, and he's surrounded by several other police officers. And he's not doing anything to resist. He's glassy-eyed and stupefied. He's somebody who's suffering a diabetic episode. And as he's thrown to the ground, and of course the first thing that happens whenever police now put hands on you is they start screaming, "Stop resisting," as if you're resisting. And of course, even a momentary hesitation or a brief flicker of non-cooperation is treated as if it were aggressive resistance to a police officer. But the police officer who is kicking him in the head and shoulders while he's being pinned down by four others is using a 12-letter ghetto vulgarity referring to an Oedipal sexual relationship as he's telling him to stop resisting. This guy has done nothing to provoke that kind of reaction. That's the setting, the default setting in the personality of the police officer who's assaulting this guy. And within about 2 minutes, it becomes clear, on the basis of a search of this guy's pocket, that he's a diabetic. They found the vial of insulin. And while he's actually in the process of handcuffing and subduing this guy, the police officer who's leading the assault realizes that he's dealing with a diabetic who's having an insulin shock episode. He actually gets on the radio to the dispatcher and says that he's semi-conscious, he's most likely a diabetic. But in the meanwhile, he's still handcuffed with his hands behind his back. He's got fractured ribs, and his face and body are covered in bruises. He's beaten so badly that he has to go to the emergency room and undergo treatment for a couple of days. But this is all done, why? Because they can do it, quite frankly, and because the type of people, unfortunately, who are being recruited into this very important social function of, you know, providing security and acting as peace officers, which is how police officers are supposed to behave, unfortunately, the talent pool is so thoroughly tainted that it selects for a certain type of person who, when given the opportunity, will behave that way. And it's not that you're dealing with people who are spectacularly depraved either. It's just the expectations that are dictated by our culture are so completely torqued. Here's another really good example of what I'm talking about. Just a few days ago, I happened to notice in the local newspaper, the Idaho Press Tribune out of Caldwell and Nampa, a profile of a young man who seems like a pretty well squared away individual. He's an outstanding baseball player for Northwest Nazarene University. He just happened to mention in passing that it's pretty likely that he's not going to be playing baseball professionally. He's just not the right physical type. And quite frankly, I can tell you from a little bit of personal experience, unless God makes you a Major League Baseball player, you're not going to make it to the show. You really have to be something extraordinary. And beyond extraordinary, you have to be something Olympian. But he said,
strategy.
He
built one special caucus. It's called the Religious Caucus. That act. But tell our viewers what's going on.
It sure is, Wolf. As you mentioned, this caucus is for people. Caucus is for people like. Caucus is for people like Orthodox Jews and Seventh-day Adventists too.
Junkie is somebody who's addicted. He's addicted to a certain type of stimulus. It could be a drug. It could be a depressant like alcohol. It could be a stimulant like some form of a cocaine or the type of stimulant. It could be something that's an experience that's not narcotic in nature, but he's addicted to something. In this case, an adrenaline junkie is somebody who'd be addicted to conflict. And I found myself wondering how many people go into law enforcement because they are addicted to conflict. They're addicted to the adrenaline rush that comes from confronting people. Now, this is an important consideration because, once again, the historic cultural definition of what a police officer is supposed to be is a peace officer. He's supposed to de-escalate situations. He's supposed to find ways of diffusing conflict rather than exacerbating it. But the system now selects for people who are looking for conflict and looking to put it down violently in the interest of government authority rather than subduing or diffusing conflict in the name of protecting individual rights. That's an ominous change in our culture.
Well, I share your concern. And basically, of course, the police officer is supposed to be serving the public and not gratifying any tendencies they have to express their ability to control others. Go right ahead, William.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Law enforcement, and how at one time, certainly in the 18th and 19th century, why the purpose, of course, of law enforcement was to defuse conflict, to try to avoid confrontation, to get people into court, to carry out justice, and certainly society worked in it. It worked very well, and the sheriff was certainly the most important person in any county because they were the center of law. And then, of course, you'd have to convene a court, and you'd have to have a judge who would preside over that court. But our society of justice worked fairly well, and it was answerable directly to the people. And the judge didn't even have to, pardon me, the jury didn't even have to accept what the judge told them. It was up to the jury to determine whether this law was correct and whether the person was guilty or innocent according to the law. But, of course, it was basically the jury could actually find that the law was unconstitutional, was wrong. But it was left up to the people to determine what justice was. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The jury is the other institution, apart from that of the county sheriff, that was supposed to be invested with plenary authority. And plenary means unqualified. Once you're sworn in as a jury, you are essentially the oracle of the law. You acting in a corporate fashion as a jury, as part of the jury, you are the people who will have this, have the ultimate say as to not only the facts of the case, but the merits of the law in question. That's a concept which was recognized by, if I remember correctly, John Jay, when he was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He actually went so far as to say, in one of the few instances where the Supreme Court actually heard a criminal trial, not well remembered, but in its earliest phase, the Supreme Court actually did hear criminal trials. They actually impaneled juries to hear the criminal trials. And John Jay, in his instructions to the jury, pointed out that they actually had greater authority than he did as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, because it was within the purview of the jury to determine whether the law was valid. So when people act as if jury nullification is some kind of a spurious or subversive doctrine, it's important to recognize that it was that jury nullification was validated and upheld by the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. If I remember correctly, that John Jay was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, not the most notable, but certainly he's somebody who would have to be considered an authoritative source regarding the merits of jury nullification. And the same is true of the authority of the sheriff with respect to the protection of the of peaceful order within the county. Order in this case, of course, being compatible with the protection of individual rights and property rights. There is no individual representing a federal bureaucracy or a municipal police department or a state police department who outranks a sheriff in terms of the peace officer function within a given county. Now, the reason why it's important to recognize this, and these are all uncontested facts of our history, uncontested legal principles, they've been set in abeyance by the people who presume to rule us right now. And so radically alienated we become from our heritage in this respect that the FBI in recent weeks has been designating those of us who understand these principles and are seeking to rehabilitate them as an eternal enemy, as a pool of subversives and potential terrorists who are the leading danger to law enforcement. They have confabulated this category, what they call sovereign citizens, and that's a catch-all that includes tax protesters and people who unfortunately are preying on the understandable frustrations of the public to peddle bogus nostrums for the purpose of corruptly enriching themselves. There are people who call themselves sovereign citizens who are fraud artists and are doing nobody any good. And there are some people who have appropriated that title who don't abide by the non-aggression principle and are committing acts of fraud against both the public officials and other citizens. And on a couple of occasions, they've ended up in violent confrontations with police that do nobody any good. But those of us who understand the principles of Anglo-Saxon common law and the fact that these are principles from which our Constitution was derived and are trying to promote and rehabilitate those principles, the FBI has categorized us as part of this omnium gatherum category of sovereign citizens who are a bigger threat in terms of terrorism, domestic terrorism, than Al-Qaeda, according to the FBI. That's how perverse the system has become and how alienated we become from our heritage.
Well, we live in amazing, amazing times. The difficulty is because they control the media, because they're frightening people to death over this danger of terrorism, whereas, of course, we know that it's fraudulent. After all, Israel recently released 127 terrorists to get back one soldier. Do you really think there's a threat? Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, of course, is William Grigg, and I was simply giving you an example of basically this whole fraudulent nature of terrorism recently, and you can check this out on the Internet. Why, of course, Israel had one of their soldiers who was taken prisoner by the Hamas, and so Israel released 1,000 and 27 terrorists. These are people convicted of terrorism, many of them murderers, many of them multiple murderers, or 400 of the 1,027 were multiple murderers. And of course, they released them to get back one soldier. Now, do you honestly, in your own mind, honestly believe that this would be a logical thing to do? After all, if you want to stop terrorism, you do not release terrorists. And you did not release 1,027 terrorists to get back one soldier, no matter how much you want to get him back again, unless what you're really trying to do is promote terrorism. It's sort of like fishing. And if you have a pond that's full of fish, and you fish out all the fish, then there's no more fishing. And basically, when you have a war on terrorism, and you've arrested most of the terrorists, there are no more terrorists. So what do? Why you release them, ladies and gentlemen? You release the terrorists, it's like catch and release. And if you, once you understand that, and there's certainly an article recently pointing out that certainly the only about 20 instances supposedly of Muslim violence in America per year on average for the last 3 years, a few more 1 year, but basically in 2011, I think there were only 20 instances of so-called Muslim of violence in America, and of course most of those were that actually had FBI agents acting as agent provocateurs trying to encourage the acts of violence. But of course, once you can convince people that there's a threat of terrorism, then anybody who's accused of being a terrorist is supposedly a menace. And this is how we're going to divide America and turn good Americans into informants and get them frightened to death so they'll turn in their neighbor, they'll turn in their best friend if they think that they might possibly be at the variance with the official policies of the government. After all, we look to the government security, not to God. But go right ahead.
That's exactly right. And that's the really corrupt bargain that is struck here, is the idea that you would defer to this idol called government for protection. And from the age of Nimrod, that's been the proposition. The social contract, I guess, was...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with William Grigg. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is William Grigg. William Grigg, right ahead with your story.
Yeah, the social contract that Nimrod offered was that he would assume control over every aspect of the lives of the people who were ruled in ancient Babylon, in the city-state that he created, and he would be recognized essentially as their provider and the equivalent of their creator. And pretty much every government in history has been presided over by people, with a couple of rather conspicuous exceptions. I think that you could say that whatever his faults and failings, George Washington never believed himself to be a deity, never considered himself to be deified. There are people after he died who tried to deify George Washington, unfortunately, but he wasn't somebody who used to come to that idea. He understood that flattery was dangerous to both the flatterer and the hearer, as Edmund Burke said. But every government, to a greater or lesser extent, has engaged in this type of facile idolatry in which people were supposed to look to the government for security and for the protection of their individual rights. And there is a sense in which government can legitimately serve the interest of the combined or collective protection of the individual right to self-defense. But it is not something that exists independent of the rights of those who create it. It certainly isn't something that bequeaths rights on people or that confers favors on people. Everything it has stolen, as Nietzsche once said. And so what we have here in America today, Dr. Stan, talking about the way that governments have a way of generating their own pools of antagonists. You talked about what happened recently with the release of the Hamas prisoners as a part of an exchange for one soldier. Now, Hamas was created with the help of Israeli intelligence precisely for that purpose. It's supposed to be a fishing pond from which they could extract a certain number of terrorists or a hunting preserve that they could use for conducting targeted kill operations for the purposes of domestic politics. Another very useful thing about Hamas, of course, is that it's distantly connected to Syria and Iran. And so right now it's being used as a tendril connecting Syria and Iran and being looked upon now as a way perhaps of arranging some kind of an appropriate incident that could lead to an attack on Iran, rather, that could precipitate a war that has long been discussed and long been teased, and that may break out later on this spring. It's interesting. We mentioned Madonna at the beginning of the program, ironically enough, and there was a news item a couple of days ago talking about the fact that Madonna is supposed to be performing in Tel Aviv in late March, and the Israeli tourism ministry has been putting pressure on the Israeli military and the Netanyahu administration, trying to get them to postpone their planned attack on Iran until after Madonna's concert takes place, because they don't want a war fouling up their tourism windfall that they would reap if they have a successful concert performance by Madonna. That says a lot, I think, about the way that wars are staged and certain events are orchestrated, and the fact that even something as apparently trivial as a pop concert can fit into the grand choreography of events in Israel and elsewhere. And of course, if we end up with a war against Iran, which is increasingly likely, this is something that would have a bad, disastrous impact on the entire world.
Now, when is the Madonna concert?
It's supposed to be late March.
Late March. So basically, we've probably got at least a month and a half before we will have the war, and I certainly kill a few thousand people, a few ten thousand people, maybe 100,000 people, maybe 1 million people. Does anybody really care? This is what really bothers me. When everybody's talking about this, everybody's taking it as a matter of course. It's perfectly all right for the United States and or Israel to attack Iran, because they might decide to build a bomb. They haven't decided to build a bomb. They're not working on a bomb. How do I know? Because, of course, I get this information from Mr. Matthew Kronig, who is a senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense up until June or July of last year. He was a senior advisor on Middle Eastern affairs to the Secretary of Defense, William Gates, and he readily admits Iran is not building a bomb. Iran hasn't even decided to build a bomb, and that's why we want to attack them. What sort of madness is that? And they're anticipating that if we do attack Iran, that Iran will retaliate. They have to retaliate, otherwise they lose all credibility with their people, and so we'll simply absorb the retaliation, and then we'll all live happily ever after. Is that really the way that wars work, ladies and gentlemen? It might be. Certainly, Israel did attack the nuclear site in Syria. There was no response from Syria. This was a couple of years ago. Israel did attack a nuclear site in Iraq. Oh, I guess in the early 1980s, there was no response. But would we expect the same response from Iran? Well, it would be very nice if we had it, but what would happen if they responded by sinking a carrier and killing a couple of thousand Americans? Then what would our government do? Or lob maybe 50,000 missiles at Israel? What would we do in response to that? And yet there is no outcry from any of our Republican political candidates, presidential candidates, or from the Obama administration, no outcry saying, this is insanity. We don't want to go to war with Iran.
Yeah. Well, there's only one of the Republican candidates who has had enough principle and insight and candor to say what you just said, Dr. Stanley, of course, Dr. Paul. And he's treated as an outlier and as somebody unsuited for polite company, because he's had the presence of mind to say that it's perfectly insane to be maneuvering Iran into a war. Just as 4 years ago, he was the only one on the podium, I believe this would have been in South Carolina, during the 2008 Republican debate, very early in the process when there were about a dozen people on the stage. Walt Blitzer asked a question about dealing with the supposed nuclear threat from Iran. And he asked them if each of the candidates would endorse the use of tactical nuclear weapons in order to take out Iran's nuclear program. And the only one on that stage who said that he wouldn't was Dr. Paul. He said, it's perfect insanity to talk about a preemptive nuclear strike against a country that's never attacked or threatened us. These people scare me a little bit. And, of course, they scare the Iranians, and they scare most of the people who are paying attention to what's going on in the world. The United States is in possession of over 8,000 nuclear warheads. There's only one government in the history of mankind that's actually used an atomic weapon, and that's the government in Washington, D.C. They used that weapon to end a war against Japan in August of 1945 that could have been ended months earlier than that, in a timely fashion that would have saved probably tens of thousands of Japanese lives in non-nuclear, non-atomic attacks, and probably tens of thousands of American lives that were wasted in the conflict going up the island chain to put them in the position to attack the home island, creating the false alternative that we're always reminded of. We're always told about this dilemma, and it's a perfectly false and contrived dilemma. Well, if you didn't support dropping the atom bomb on Japan, did you support the idea of invading the home islands, which probably would have ended up killing more people than were killed by the use of the atomic bomb? Of course, the answer to this is I support neither alternative, because Japan had been trying to surrender for roughly a year on terms that were almost identical to the terms that they eventually agreed to after the atomic bombs were dropped.
And let me just comment that we have a clipping which I got directly from the Chicago Tribune from, I believe it's August 15th, 1945, where the Chicago Tribune, in this article, which I got from the Chicago Tribune, says the Japanese have been trying to surrender for 6 months. We would not let them surrender. The invasion of Iwo Jima and Okinawa and the dropping of the first atomic bomb that killed over 100,000 people and the dropping of the second atomic bomb that killed over 100,000 people were totally unnecessary. And I dare say there's probably not more than 1,000 Americans who's ever heard that. We'd be glad to provide any of our listeners who want a copy of that clipping from the Chicago Times, a copy of that. In fact, we really should actually print that. I don't think we can, though, because it's probably not out of copyright, but we do have it, and we make it available if you want it. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. So all of those deaths on Iwo Jima, all of those deaths on Okinawa, all of those Americans who died and all of those Japanese who died were murdered unnecessarily because we would not let the Japanese surrender. And I happen to know, at least in part, that's true because General Albert Wedemeyer, who was in charge of the military, American military in China, and certainly they were running the nationalist Chinese, General Wedemeyer actually personally told me that he had intercepted the message after the first atomic bomb was dropped from the Japanese saying, "We want to surrender. We want to surrender." They'd already, of course, pleaded to surrender. And after the first atomic bomb, they pleaded to surrender. And what was America's response? We dropped the second nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a criminal activity, but nobody wants to talk about it.
And that's the sort of thing that is remembered by people who are not blinkered by this. And the only word that it fits is idolatrous view of American exceptionalism. The idea that we are granted an exception from the non-aggression principle, from the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule, of course, was robustly booed in South Carolina by at least one large faction of a group of people who consider themselves to be pious, conservative, Christian, Republicans. The true American exceptionalism, of course, is that we have the exceptional blessing of living in a country, the founding document of which, the Declaration of Independence, recognized that the individual's rights come from his creator. They inherit in him because of his created status. That there is nobody exalted above the common run of humanity, like the Pharaoh, who was a god among cattle, according to the Egyptian official cult. Or someone like Nimrod, who considered himself to be a great hunter, and the rest of humanity being mere beasts of the field to be slaughtered at his whim. You know, the American founding document recognizes that the individual is paramount in terms of the question of what society should be, to protect individual liberty and to provide an environment in which individuals can pool their efforts productively in peaceful commerce and cooperation and make life better for the mass of humanity through the protection of individual rights and through the empowerment of the individual to reach his creative potential. That's what the Declaration of Independence is all about. The Declaration of Independence says very bluntly that our rights are absolute, they are unalienable, they are non-negotiable, but the existence of government is contingent. In other words, government is supposed to be the servant and protector to the extent that it's given the delegated role of protecting individual rights. We're supposed to have the paramount role in protecting our own rights, too. But government exists at our pleasure and to serve our interests, and whenever it becomes destructive of those ends, it is our duty to alter or abolish the government, because we can have our rights without the government. But a government that intrudes upon our rights has no reason to exist. Now,
because the reason that we have rights, so, and this is why the Declaration is so important, is because our rights come from God.
Yes.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That is why, of course, they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That's why we're certainly installing nations under Sharia law all throughout the Middle East. This is why, of course, you cannot mention God as a valedictorian. Certainly, why American Christian chaplains in the military cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ is because if you can destroy the religious foundation of America, you destroy America. The enemy is not in Moscow. The enemy is not in Beijing. The enemy is not living in Baghdad or Tehran. The enemy is in Washington, D.C. and New York City. Before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your information, how they get to your blog site, how they can subscribe to Republic Magazine, and how they can get to your PayPal button and help you maintain your family as you keep, of course, compiling information and researching what's going on in the world today.
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate that. Republic Magazine, to start with the last item that you mentioned, is found at republicmagazine.com. That's the main site for Republic Magazine, and it's a sister publication to Survivalist Magazine, and both of these publications are available on newsstands. If you go to a Books A Million or Barnes & Noble, you should be able to find Survivalist, certainly in Republic, most likely. Go to republicmagazine.com, and then look in the upper left, right-hand corner, rather, of the homepage. Actually, just right at the top, there is a banner that says Free Digital Subscription. Sign up to our newsletter and get a free digital subscription to Republic Magazine. You enter your name and your primary email, and then click a status button that says Get Instant Access. You can subscribe to the newsletter, get a digital subscription, and be updated as to the articles and videos and other features that are posted every day at Republic Magazine. I generally put out 1 to 2 articles a day, usually 600 to 1,000 words. This is, of course, journalism of first instance. This is stuff that you're most likely not going to see anyplace else. But there are videos, and then there are also podcasts and other things that are available, and webinars are held from time to time by way of republicmagazine.com. Pro Libertate, the blog, is another forum that I write, and I've been writing that now for, almost 6 years now. freedominourtime.blogspot.com is the web address for Pro Libertate, the blog that I guess technical term now is curate, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or type in my name, William Grigg, and Pro Libertate, that's P-R-O-L-I-B-E-R-T-A-T-E, and Pro Libertate should be the first return that you get. I update that between 1 and 2 times a week as my situation permits, and you mentioned, Dr. Stan, that at the end of every essay on Pro Libertate, there is a PayPal button people can access in order to donate to help keep the blog up and running and to keep my family going in viable concern. I really do appreciate all the generous help that we've received, and I appreciate, Dr. Stan, your role in helping to encourage people to donate to my efforts, because this is how I'm supporting my family of 8 people. It's a rather daunting prospect, but With God's grace and with your generosity, we've managed to get by. It's nothing short of miraculous.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.